Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, as I'm sure you've noticed, our nation observes the remembrance of the death and destruction that occurred 15 years ago today on 9/11/2001. We'll mention that briefly in a little bit. But first, I'd like you to remember what happened 24 weeks ago today, as we celebrated Christ's victory over death on Easter Sunday. And lest the light of Christ's power over death grow dim in our hearts, the Holy Spirit holds it up before our eyes again today in the gospel, as we see Jesus confronting death and, once again, defeating it in the son of the widow of Nain. It's important that the Holy Spirit do this, that he not let us go more than 6 months at least without reminding us of Christ's power over death, and in fact every Sunday that's what we gather to do, to celebrate what our Redeemer has done for us in his death and in his resurrection. But you can never be too prepared for death, whether it's your own or whether it's your loved ones. We didn't sing the hymn today, but it's in there in our hymnal. Who knows when death may overtake me? Who knows when death may overtake any of us? You can't be too prepared for it, but you can be under-prepared for it. And so today, watch Jesus as he deals with death in the gospel. The widow of Nain had already lost her husband in death. Then she lost her only son too, and was left bereaved and desolate. Not unlike, if you remember, Naomi from the Old Testament, who lost her husband and her two sons. Remember how bitter Naomi was over that at first, even though she still had with her faithful daughter-in-law, Ruth, to accompany her and to take care of her. This widow, we don't know what she had, but it doesn't seem that she had any family left. So, what a sad funeral it was as the procession went out of the city gates with the widow there and a large crowd with her, it says, along with those who were carrying the open coffin with her boy in it. Then along comes Jesus with a large crowd of his own coming from the opposite direction toward the city. And our gospel says, when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. Now don't read over that too quickly. People wonder sometimes if God cares about our suffering, if he understands our sorrows, or sympathizes with us at all in our weaknesses and in the death that we face as people made of dust. Well, the compassion of Jesus is the compassion of God. This is how he views those who grieve, especially who grieve over death, with deep-seated, heart-wrenching compassion. Because death was not God's intention or desire for mankind, for any of us. God made us to live, not to die. To enjoy everlasting life in his presence, not to suffer death and eternal punishment. Death is the very thing, the only thing God warned our parents Adam and Eve against in the Garden of Eden. The very thing he told them how to avoid, and gave them all the tools necessary to avoid it. It was their choice to bring death on themselves and on their children. And it's the same choice that we also make by nature, to try to play God, to tell him what's right and what's wrong, to do and to believe as we please. Death is the wages we've all earned for ourselves, for all have sinned. But what did Jesus say? I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. He showed us that in everything he did while he walked the earth, and he shows it to us again in how he dealt with death in today's gospel at the gates of Nain. He said to the widow, "Do not weep." Why? Because nothing was wrong? No, because Jesus had come, and he was about to make everything right. He touched the coffin, halting the procession, interrupting the course that death normally takes, because he was about to change the course of death, for that young man at least. He said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." So he who was dead sat up and began to speak, and he presented him to his mother. See how simple that was? No hocus pocus, no ritual, no struggle or strain on Jesus to perform this miracle. Just the simple, almighty Word of God that brought the creation into existence with a word, that called the stars into being with a word. The same word that pronounced death and punishment on the human race, now a good word, a word of hope, a word of life. It's a word that Jesus has already spoken to all of you through his appointed ambassadors. As he says in John chapter 5, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man." This is the voice of the gospel, the voice of Jesus that has been spoken to you through his appointed representatives, through his ministers, calling out to sinners to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus, who suffered death and the punishment of sin in your place, who was raised again from the dead, and gives eternal life to all who believe in his name. The preaching of the gospel is how Jesus comes to you and says, "Do not weep." Why? Because there's nothing wrong? No, but because he has borne your wrongs, and borne your punishment, and borne your death, and will make everything right between you and God, not just in the future, but when you believe in him. Even now, you have crossed over from death to life. As St. Paul wrote to the Ephesians in chapter 2, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he has loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." So what harm can death bring to you? If you have already passed over from death into life, what sin can condemn you if God has already made you alive together with Christ Jesus? Jesus has touched the coffin of all who believe in him and has interrupted the course of death through holy baptism. death will no longer end in the grave. And it will certainly never lead the believer in Christ to hell. Instead, in a spiritual way, Christ has already raised believers to life. But of course, that's not all. Jesus continues from there in John chapter 5. The hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Just as Jesus stood by the coffin of the young man at Nain and told him to arise, and he did, so his voice will go out to every grave of everyone who has ever died on the last day, and will call all people back to life in the great resurrection of the body. Now, if that's true, and Jesus proved again in the gospel today that he has the power to do the very thing he promised he would do, then a person's whole life has to be driven by this. How you live here on earth will have eternal consequences. Those who heard his voice calling in the gospel during their earthly life, who by the power of that gospel repented and believed in him and persevered in the faith until death, will be raised to everlasting life. And those who failed to listen and hear, those who failed to repent and believe, will be raised to everlasting condemnation. This was, by the way, the primary effect that 9/11 should have had on the people of our country. It should have been a great wake-up call for all people to repent of their wickedness and to believe in the Son of God now, before it's too late. Because who knows when death may overtake me? And surely by the grace of God, it has had that effect on some. But for the most part, these 15 years after that horrifying event, people continue to mock the judgment of God. And our nation as a whole continues its death spiral, with every form of depravity and wickedness and immorality imaginable, from abortion and the support for it, which goes on today, as it did then, to unbridled sexual immorality, which one might even say has increased today more than it had increased then, to the evolutionary propaganda that remains in our schools and in our scientific laboratories, to the love for every religion, it seems, except the pure religion of Christ Jesus. Be that as it may, the words of today's gospel are still being preached around the world and are still being preached to you who have gathered here today. They are intended to draw you, the precious people of God, ever closer to Jesus, the compassionate Lord of life and death, so that you put your trust in him now and continue to put your trust in him before death comes. This is the day of grace. This is the time of God's favor for you, for your loved ones. And this is our opportunity as a church to celebrate and to proclaim the forgiveness of sins and the hope of everlasting life through faith alone, in Christ alone. And Jesus will not disappoint you. His compassion for those who grieve is just as real today as it was at the gates of Nain. And his power over death is just as real too. Death still surrounds us in the world, but let the comfort of Jesus' peace and love surround you even more. and let his body and blood given for you on the cross and now given to you in his sacrament serve as the medicine that sustains your spiritual life until the day when Jesus calls your body out of its grave to join him in everlasting joy. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.